I'm going to call this House Senate Tax Conference Committee to order. And before we start, Senator Nelson, would you hold up what you have on had put on
I
your desk?
I have to show you what was on my desk or on my spot when I came here. So, greatest thank.
To you. Happy birthday to you.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Madam Chairman. Happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you. Yay. Okay, this is now the best birthday I've ever had. The only thing that can make it better is actually getting this tax bill today before midnight. So thank you so much.
Madam Chair, that's from the House conferees. And also, there's some other snacks, but I know the rules and protocol here in the Senate. But the Sergeant-at-Arms office right over here after we recess, we can move over there and we can celebrate a little more if you
will.
We'll
do that. Thank you so much. Thank you, House conferees all. And we have a good day here. So, Mr. Chair, let's get started.
Very good. So the intent, members, is to finish off and adopt the final five articles. And then at that point, we're going to recess. So we're not going to close things up quite yet, but we'll adopt these five articles and then recess. So the first one we have is Article 1, which is the individual income, corporate franchise taxes, and estate taxes. Mr. Williams.
Chair Mark Warden, members, if it's okay with you, I think that we're going to focus on items in this article that have changed since the bills left the House and Senate. As far as House provisions are concerned, there's two that I identified that I want to bring to the committee's attention. In the sections on the beginning farmer, there's language that was in the House bill that's not in the conference committee report. It allowed the Rural Finance Authority a $300,000 appropriation to develop an application system for the credit, and that language has been removed in the conference committee report. I'd also turn your attention to the dependent care credit language. That's on page 40, line 22. So there's sort of, we discussed this briefly yesterday, but I thought I might draw your attention to the language here. So the phase-out rate, or the phase-out threshold for the credit was $125,000 in the House bill as it left the floor. It's been reduced to $80,000 in the language before the committee now. The phase-out rate was 1%. For every $2,000 of income, and it's been reduced to 1% for every $1,000 of income. And so the credit would be fully phased out at $105,000 in the conference committee report. And lastly, on page 40, line 14, there's an additional amount of expenses allowed for individuals who have what's called a young child in the bill. That's a child ages 0 to 4. And the amounts for young children have been reduced in the conference committee report. So it was $3,000 extra for one young child, $6,000 extra for a young child in the bills that left the House. And that's been reduced to $1,000 extra for a young child and $2,000 for two young children and then $3,000 for three or more young children in the conference committee report. And those are the changes in the House language. Ms. Pollack may want to speak to language in the Senate bill that's been changed in the article before us.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Ms. Pollack.
Mr. Chair and members, there are two new sections in the income article pertaining to the new markets tax credit and the obligations of the Commissioner of Deed with regard to administering the credit and providing information on taxpayer data in order for the Commissioner of Revenue to actually issue the credits. And that would be Section 1 and Section 6. And then, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Ms. Pollack, can you just get us on the right page and line number, please?
Sure.
Ms. Pollack.
Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, Section 1 on line 1.4.
Thank you.
And then Section 6 on 7.2.
Thank you.
Ms. Pollack, anything further?
Mr. Chair, no.
Members, any questions on Article 1 that's before us? If not, Senator Nelson, would you like to move?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that we adopt Article 1.
Senator Nelson moves to adopt Article 1, individual income, corporate franchise taxes, and estate taxes, with the 3:09 p.m. stamp dated May 22, 2022, to the Conference Committee report on House File 3669. Members, any further discussion? If not, I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. Article 1 is adopted.
Mr. Chair, we will put before us the article called State Aids. At the top right, you will notice the numbers MS_TAXCC_AIDS credits, and that's 5/22/22, 10:07 a.m. And if we could have Mr. Arneson go through the State Aids and Credit article, please.
Madam Chair and members, I will identify the pieces in this article that were different from the provisions in the Senate side. First, item of note would be on page 5, section 7. This electric generation transition account is an account in the special revenue fund to be funded with $5.2 million. And available for a later legislative appropriation for the purposes indicated under Subdivision 3. I believe the remaining changes are to provisions that were carried in the House file. So maybe I'll turn it over to Mr. Swanson, please.
Madam Chair. The changes to provisions in the state aids article that were in the House bill, I'll start with the local government aid provisions. So the article in front of you would increase the local government aid appropriation by $30 million annually. There's also a hold harmless provision that ensures that no city's aid in 2023 will be less than its 2022 LGA plus its 2022 supplemental aid that was in last year's tax bill. There are no changes to the LGA formula in this article. The second change is related to county program aid, and that just increased the increase to the appropriation, so that is now a $30 million annual increase to county program aid. The soil and water conservation district aid that is in this article, the appropriation is changed to a $6 million annual appropriation for the aid. And then finally, the last change to the House provisions in this article is related to the Community Career Workforce Academy grants. This provision will now distribute a total of $24 million, and there's an additional direct grant to the Greater Rochester Advocates for Universities and Colleges, and this is for facility needs and programming at a simulation center.
And Madam Chair?
Oh, yes. I'm reading through the rest of the bill there.
Yeah.
Are there any other discussion points on this particular section or article? Mr. Williams?
Madam Chair.
Oh, Mr. Swanson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, any other provision that Mr. Arneson and I did not cover are the same as they were either, the same as they appeared in either the House bill or the Senate bill? So this would include the PILT changes, the aid penalty forgiveness provisions, and the 4D transition aid.
Thank you, Mr. Swanson. Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair, there are runs here for the county program aid, soil and water conservation district aid, and the local government aid for members also. And so with that, Madam Chair, I will move.
One question, excuse me. Senator Rest. Senator Rest, we're on the state aids article, so we'll get to that one shortly. I know, that's important. We'll get to that in just a moment. All right, but any other comments or questions on the state aids article?
Madam Chair, I will move the state aids article, and that probably would be the official motion. So I will move that.
Thank you, Chair. Marquardt moves to adopt Article MS Tax CC Aids and Credits, State Aids. That's the article with the 10:07 a.m. timestamp dated May 22, 2022. At the conference report on House File 3669, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Adopted.
All right, Madam Chair, we'll move to the next one on property taxes, and that one in the upper right hand is MS underscore tax CC underscore property. So Mr. Arneson or Mr. Swanson, who wants to go first on that one? Mr. Swanson.
Mr. Chair, again, we'll just take the approach where we point out any changes to the provisions that are in this article compared to how they appeared in either the House or the Senate bill. And so I'll start with the school equalization piece, which is in Section 2 of the property tax article. So the school equalization factor in this section was lowered from 170% of the statewide average tax base per pupil to 154.79%. The other change related to a house provision is in the property tax exemption for a property in Minneapolis owned by the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe. And this just includes a clarifying change related to the issue that Representative Joachim and Senator Weber brought up the other day during conference committee. So the change just ensures that the county, when it provides a refund of any 2022 property taxes paid to this on this property, has the ability to collect the portion of property taxes that have already been distributed to other local governments. And, Mr. Chair, I believe the other changes in this article are related to Senate provisions.
Mr. Arneson. Mr. Sylvia.
Mr. Chair and members, I will highlight four sections of the Senate bill that changed. Section 7 establishes the energy storage system property tax exemption. Originally, the Senate proposed a 10-year sunset, and that has been removed in this draft. Section 16 is the 4D approval, municipal approval requirement. A change that was included in this section is to provide that approval is not required if the property is located in a city or town where the net tax capacity of 4D property did not exceed 2% of the total net tax capacity of all property in the previous year. Section 27 also reflects the updated state general levy reduction of approximately $30 million for taxes payable in 2023. And lastly, Section 36 is new language that provides for a Class 4D class rate reduction property tax savings report. And this language requires counties to identify 10 properties in the county with the greatest number of Class 4D units, survey those property owners as to how the property owner used the property tax savings resulting from the class rate reduction, and then a report must be issued to the Commissioner of Revenue and to the legislative committees with jurisdiction over taxes and property taxes.
Thank you, Mr. Sylvia. Any comments from members? Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And do we have any property tax runs on this article at all? On how this plays out?
Staff, are you looking at the local option revenue part on the school levy aid?
Or just in general, it seems, yeah, yes, yeah.
I don't think.
Do we are there have, any runs on any provisions in this article?
Representative, which article are you looking at right now?
Seven.
Okay, we're on the property taxes?
Yes.
Okay. And so.
How this will affect the local units of government across the state.
So we have the state aids in the last one. So we had LGA runs, CPA runs, and Soil and Water Conservation District, which I don't think there's any other runs, but if you could specifically kind of which portions of this.
I'll pass for right now.
Okay.
I'll pass right now.
Senator Rest.
The general question is there a property tax run that reflects every change that is in this bill with regard to rates and so forth, like we would get for the impact on various classes of property, the kind of the common one that we see, but that reflects every change to property taxes that are made in this bill?
Senator Rest, I'm informed that has not been prepared yet.
Okay, I think I do think, Mr. Chairman, that members may be interested in just seeing the overall impact of this bill on everything that is a property tax change, and I think that's the question. The information that Representative Davids was looking for, and I would add my name to that too. If it is possible to do. And I think we're probably going to have plenty of time for that to be done.
Representative Davids, was that kind of what you were looking at, too?
Senator Rest said it much better than I did. She's exactly right. Just basically the impact on property taxpayers.
I got you. Very good. So thank you. We will see if we can get that. Other thoughts on the from members on the property taxes article?
Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. I just wanted to really once again just commend the statewide general levy piece. That has been so important. I know I spoke about it yesterday, so I won't reiterate those comments again, but couldn't come at a more critical time for our brick and mortar Main Street businesses. And I particularly want to call out Senator Weber for his good work on this bill. And I know, Sherry, you, Joaquin, worked very, very diligently on the House side. And so I appreciate our property tax subcommittee chairs. I think you just did an excellent job.
Senator Weber.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to make sure I heard things correctly. I thought I heard Mr. Sylvia say that $30 million in 23 for the general tax levy, and I'm thinking it's $30 million in 24, 25, and 15, I'm sorry, $15 million in the 23. Am I correct on that?
Mr. Sylvia. Mr. Wilms.
Mr. Chair and committee members, the state general levy reduction amount that's being tracked reflects the fiscal year tax year shift. And so the $15 million just reflects the timing more than anything.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
So, Mr. Wilms, so that would begin property tax pay year 23. Is that correct? But so part of that falls in that first time. Part of it falls into fiscal 23 and fiscal 24. Is that correct?
Chair Marquardt and committee members, that's correct. Okay. The payment dates are split over the fiscal year.
Yeah, very good. Any other thoughts or comments on this article? If not, Madam Chair, would you move that article, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I would like to move that we adopt Article MS Tax CC Property with the 3:24 p.m. timestamp dated May 21, 2022 to the Conference Committee Report on HF 3669.
Any further comments on that motion? If not, I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The property tax article is adopted. Madam Chair, the next one is yours.
Next, members, we have the article Tax CC Miscellaneous. Again, that has a timestamp of 5/21/22 at 9:26 p.m. And we might have a variety of staff who need to speak to this particular article, so I'm going to have you flag when you are up. So let's start at the beginning. We'll start with the House. Any differences? We'll start with Mr. Arneson.
Madam Chair, members, the first few sections, I think, are familiar to the committee already because we adopted them a day or two ago as a no-cost item. The first provision that may be new to the committee is Section 7, and perhaps somebody from the House staff can describe that provision.
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, I can describe this provision.
Go ahead, then. Ms. Pollack.
Madam Chair, yes, Section 7 strikes a requirement in the one of the administrative chapters for the Department of Revenue that requires that provides for the commissioner to charge a fee for entering into a payment agreement. The fee is $50, and so it would just strike that requirement.
Thank you, Ms. Pollack.
Madam Chair, the next new language, which is technical to what had been previously in the Senate bill, is on page 10. In the middle of page 10, there's a chunk of new language in clause 2 there. After some conversation with MMB and the Department of Revenue, we jointly decided that this language allows that hold harmless for the problem gambling appropriations to be administered more easily. It has no impact on what had been previously adopted on the spreadsheet.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think it's okay.
And then next, what do we have next on that? And I do have to just say, what I'm looking at, maybe Mr. Arneson or Ms. Pollack, was the striking the $50 fee charge for a payment agreement. We understand that with the DOR. Did we not also have something regarding that rather than 60 days requirement for taxpayers to come up with the funding from that mistake, really, from the DOR, on those DOR forms, that they would have a year? That was my recollection, and I'm just going to put that in the bill here.
Madam Chair, yes, that corresponding provision is in Section 25.
Oh, fine. Okay, I'm just ahead. All right, we'll get to it later. Thank you. And then who is next? Yes, Mr. Swanson.
Madam Chair and members, another difference in the language of one of the provisions in this article is Section 24, which is the County Pandemic Community Relief Aid provision. In the original House bill, this had a few extra subdivisions that provided money to counties for grants to certain businesses. In its current form, in this article, Section 24 only includes the rental assistance payments subdivision, and the total appropriation for rental assistance payments in this language is $20 million.
Thank you, Mr. Swanson. Mr. Arneson.
Madam Chair, the previous section on page 18, Section 23, was not carried in either the House or Senate bill, but had been previously distributed publicly in committee as an amendment from Senator Bach. And this relates to the Cook and Lake County property tax refunds for certain CI properties that were negatively impacted by a situation that occurred with the tax base sharing pool.
Thank you. Any further? Mr. Williams.
Chair Nelson, Chair Marquardt, I'm going to direct your attention to page 15, line 26. This is the Polar Vortex Response Program. You may remember in the House language, this was originally came as an income tax credit. And I believe this was described in committee yesterday as well, but just wanted to draw your attention that the grant language is there. So that's converting the program from an income tax credit into a grant program. The Department of Commerce would provide grants to the muni utilities, and then they would use those grant funds to provide rebates to consumers.
Well, thank you, Mr. Williams.
And Chair Nelson, Chair Marquardt, I've got one more change I was going to draw your attention to. On page 21, line 10, there's the administrative appropriation for the act, and that's an appropriation to the Department of Revenue to administer the act itself. And I guess I'll point out for the committee that's $2.5 million in fiscal year 2022, and then again $2.5 million in fiscal year 2024.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Williams. Ms. Paul, just so I can see it, where is that language regarding a year to for taxpayers to pay taxes that were not collected due to the form error on the DOR forms? Where is that, Ms. Paul?
Madam Chair, that language starts on line 20.22, section 25.
Yes. Thank you very much. Just had to see it. Okay. Any other comments or questions? I think we've gone through the article. Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair, I've been informed that there's a couple spots, section 15, with the allocation to the SCORE funding, and section 19, with the workforce housing, and maybe Mr. Williams can help me with that there's some technical changes that might have to be made there, Mr. Williams?
Chair Marquardt and Senator Nelson, I believe Mr. Cope or Mr. Clayman can describe those two changes.
Okay. Mr. Clayman?
Mr. Chair and members, this would be on line 12.4. After the word appropriated, okay. There's not a fund that's specified where that appropriation is coming from. And so if it's the intent of the conferees to have that come from the environmental fund, then they would have to amend that language in this miscellaneous document in order to do that.
So, Mr. Clayman, the Pollution Control Agency cannot distribute those dollars out? Or?
So, Mr. Chair, if you'd like, I could just go through an oral amendment and kind of read the sentences how it would sound if it was amended.
Let's try that.
So, I'll just read through, I guess, starting on line 12.3, where it says under paragraph A. So under paragraph A, before being amended by this act, is appropriated, so this is line 2.4, is appropriated, and the amendment would be from the environmental fund to the commissioner of the Pollution Control Agency for distribution to counties. And so what that amendment would do is would amend the new clarifying language that was inserted into this provision for this latest version of the draft. To just to clarify where the funds are coming from that are appropriated to the Commissioner of Pollution Control. Then I can read that amendment back to you, Mr. Chair, if you'd like.
Madam Chair, I will make that oral amendment, and if Mr. Clayman would read that again.
So the amendment would be page 12, line 4, after appropriated, insert from the environmental fund.
That's been moved, and I think just to for clarity, certainly I understand the clarity. I think this is a good amendment. We'll vote for that in just a moment. I do want to just, I believe these are the, are these the SCORE grants?
Yes.
And I think it's important just for the public, Mr. Clement, if you want to discuss a bit about where that money is coming from that's going into the environmental fund and then what we're where it's going under this still here. Oh, this template.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, the funding comes from the solid waste management taxes. And the current amount that goes to the general fund or to the environmental fund is 70% of that revenue. With the language, 73% would go to the percentage would change. So the amount of money that goes to SCORE is increased. And the amount with the amendment, it clarifies the ambiguity that it clarifies that the general fund amount that is allocated is reduced and the amount to the environmental fund is increased, and there's an appropriation for the SCORE grants for that funding to go directly to that activity.
Thank you, Ms. Timplin. I just think that that's important to get that on the record, because if you were to just to read this, it would look like we were taking money from the environmental fund. And I wanted to be clear that we're actually returning these dollars to their original intent. So thank you. Any further comments? What's our next section?
We need a vote on that.
Oh, yes, excuse me. We have that oral amendment. All those in favor of Mr. Kleeman's oral amendment? Well, no, you need to make that amendment, Mr. Chair.
I made that.
Okay. All those in favor of Chair Marquardt's oral amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Adopted. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I think there's another one on Section 19 dealing with the workforce housing. Mr. Cope, I think, if we could, Madam Chair. Mr. Cope?
I'm here, Mr. Chair. Thank you. So the issue with this appropriation is that the appropriation is to MHFA to cover the administrative costs of operating the Workforce and Affordable Homeownership Development Program, and this was meant to instead be funding the administrative costs of the new Affordable Housing Market Value Exclusion Program. So the oral amendment would be on page 21, line 17, deleting workforce and affordable homeownership development and inserting Affordable Housing Market Value Exclusion Program in Minnesota Statute Section 273.129. And then page 21, line 18, deleting program in Minnesota Statute Section 462A.38.
Okay, so it sounds to me like we're clarifying where that actually should go for the administration. So, Madam Chair, I will make that oral amendment and ask Mr. Cope to read that one more time.
Mr. Cope.
So this would be page 21, line 17, deleting workforce and affordable homeownership development and inserting affordable housing market value exclusion program in Minnesota Statute Section 273.129. Then on page 21, line 18, deleting program in Minnesota Statutes Section 462.38.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Cope.
So this would be just removing the reference to the old program and inserting the new program.
Thank you. Any further comments, questions? All those in favor of Chair Marquardt's oral amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Adopted. Now, I think we've made it through the article. Are there any other differences that we've not discussed yet? I don't see any. All right. Mr. Chair, would you like to move the miscellaneous article?
Madam Chair, I will move to adopt Article Tax CC hyphen miscellaneous, and with the 9:26 p.m. timestamp dated May 21st, 2022, to the Conference Committee report on House File 3669. As amended.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Amendment is adopted. We did Article 1 already.
Yep, this is the last one right
here. Article 7 here.
You want to do that or me?
You can do this one.
Okay. So the actually the last article to adopt is Article 7, Local Taxes, and that is the timestamp, 4:57 p.m., May 21st, 2022, and on the upper right, Tax CC hyphen Local Tax. And so we will go with Mr. Klayman.
Mr. Chair and members, we'll just go through the provisions that have changed, and there's one on the House side, and then Ms. Pollack has... We'll discuss the changes to the local sales tax provisions on the Senate side. So the one that I wanted to bring members' attention to on the House side is the Plymouth local lodging tax that was increased. That's on page 13. And the Plymouth local lodging tax expiration was increased by 10 years. However, there is a technical change that still has to be made on lines 13.17 and 13.18 to conform that language with the intent of the provision to increase it. And that will be corrected, but that's currently not in the draft as it appears before the committee today. But that's one change on the House side. So the Plymouth local lodging tax expiration date was moved to 2040, and that's a change from how it appeared in the House provision. And the House provision initially got rid of the expiration date.
Oh, yeah.
And Mr. Chair and members, that's the only change provision on the House side of the local taxes article.
Mr. Armisen, who's got the... Ms. Pollack.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm going to go through some of the changes for the local sales taxes that were included in the Senate side of the bill, and some kind of changes that we've made to the language as part of the discussions around the local sales tax article. So starting on page 6, with the use of the Rochester local sales tax revenues for the additional projects, a project was changed and the authorization was changed to allow up to $60 million for an economic vitality fund. And that would be subject to the city authorizing a new resolution for $60 million for that fund. Or if they don't authorize, if they don't pass that resolution, it would be $50 million. But as you'll see, going down to 6.22, the city must use $10 million of the money allocated for that economic vitality fund for grants to the Rochester Area Economic Development Incorporated, or READY, for grants and loans for economic development in, half of it must go for grants and loans in the city of Rochester, and then the other half must go for grants and loans for economic development in the city, in Rochester, in the Rochester metropolitan statistical area. And then corresponding to those changes, Mr. Chair, on page 7, you'll see that the bonding authority is modified starting on 7.20. So if the city passes the resolution to increase the economic vitality fund to $60 million, the total bonding authority is $215 million, if the city does not pass the resolution, it would be $205 million. And then, Mr. Chair, moving on to page 9, the termination date of the tax was increased from 16 and a half years, as it appeared in the bill as it came to the conference committee, from 16 and a half years to 18 years. Mr. Chair, that concludes the changes for the City of Rochester authorization. Moving on to page 15, you'll see that there's a special provision, and this special provision pertains to the Edina Local Sales Tax Authority for the amount of $46.9 million for costs for improvements to the Braemar Park project. And the special provision would say that a provision at the end of the article, which I'll describe, but essentially that provision allows cities that were first authorized in the tax bill last year to impose their local sales tax, that they may have an up to $3 million total increase if they pass a new resolution. So this would say that that provision does not apply to the amount for the Braemar Park project. And that's kind of clarifying language. Mr. Chair, moving on to page, if you look at page 15, the termination of taxes starting on 15.23, the termination of the tax date is increased from 22 to 30 years for the City of Moorhead. And there's some new language at the top of page 16, which requires the city to pass a resolution approving the modification of the termination of the tax. And then there's also some language that requires that if the city is also going to authorize the provision to increase their bonding authority by up to $3 million, both of those changes must be included in that same resolution. Mr. Chair, moving on to section 14, the same language applies for the City of Oakdale's extension from 25 to 30 years for their termination of tax. And starting on the top of page 17 at 17.3, this is a special provision for the City of St. Peter. They were authorized last year to impose a local sales tax for a fire station, I believe. They were the only city that we authorized last year that has already had their referendum. And so the project was approved at the referendum, but the city has realized that their construction costs have increased. And so unlike the other cities that where they have not held their referendum, this is kind of an attempt to allow this special provision for the City of St. Peter to increase their authorization by $500,000. And they would, of course, have to submit an updated resolution and hold a new referendum if they wish to authorize that authority. Exercise that authority, sorry. Mr. Chair, moving on to section 18. This applies to the increase in the termination of the tax for the City of Warren from 20 to 30 years. And again, the new language starting on 19.5 requiring the city to pass an updated resolution would apply. Mr. Chair, moving on to the very end of the article on page 35. There's just some clarifying language here to the Senate provision that allows a temporary increase for pandemic-related construction costs. Paragraph B, starting on 35.15, applies to local jurisdictions that were first authorized in the 2021 omnibus tax bill, and up to a $3 million increase in the aggregate. Again, the city must pass a resolution indicating approval and submit that resolution to the state auditor. So the clarifying language there was that it has to have been first authorized in 2021. And then sections, paragraph C, starting on 35.25, applies to cities that are authorized this year in the 2022 bill. And this would allow an aggregate increase of up to 10% for the amounts authorized for projects, first authorized for projects this year. Again, a resolution must be passed and submitted to the state auditor. Mr. Chair, and I think that finishes the summary of the changes to the local sales tax article.
Thank you very much, Ms. Pollack. Any questions from members? I first of all want to thank Senator Nelson and Chair Joaquim for your work on this local sales tax. And also Senator Rest and Senator Weber and Representative Herr for their work on tax increment financing and other local governmental things. That was instrumental. So thank you so much for that work. And thanks, staff, for putting all that together. Chair Nelson?
Thank you. Have we adopted this yet?
We have not. Okay. And would you like to move that?
Yes.
Okay. Chair Nelson moves to adopt Article 7, Local Taxes, with the 4:57 p.m. timestamp, dated May 21st, 2022, to the Conference Committee report on House File 3669. Any comments? Hearing none, I'm going to call for the vote on Article 7, here, Local Taxes. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. The motion does prevail. The Article 7, Local Taxes, is adopted. So, Madam Chair, that completes the approval of all the articles for House File 3669. We know that the other committees are still working and hoping that if we can be of any help in this bill, we're going to leave it open as of right now. We always want to be helpful for leadership, but we'll come back. We're going to plan to recess and then come back, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just one other comment. I would like Jay and Cynthia to explain the updated spreadsheet. It came with a 4:06 timestamp. There are maybe just a few changes there. I know these are kind of hot off the press, but I want to make sure that everybody's aware.
Madam Chair and committee members, the issued spreadsheet updates revisions that are minor in nature, just clarifying changes, matching the spreadsheet with the language. I don't think any specific one rises to be noted specifically, but changes for interactions and other items. So it represents a clarification, and House and Senate fiscal staff will continue to issue updates as we, you know, clarify the numbers further.
Thank you. Ms. Templin.
Madam Chair and members, yes, I concur with Mr. Welms on his assessment of the updated spreadsheet. And also just to reiterate that we may get updated interaction estimates, you know, in the next few days, so the numbers may change again. But hopefully by not a lot. So thank you
so much. And again, it's been great to put this tax bill together. It's truly extraordinary and historic and will bring great tax relief to all Minnesotans. And Mr. Chair, we've worked hard. Our committees have worked extremely hard. The staff has been exceptional under some challenging circumstances. And so as we leave this open for those further perhaps negotiations with leadership, those type of things, it's certainly our intention and hope that those proceed and that we can reconvene. We'll be recessing, but that we can reconvene, come back, and pass this terrific tax bill tonight so that tax relief can get started and out the door right away. So I'll let you
Very good. Madam Chair, thank you very much. I agree with those comments you just made. And again, happy birthday. And if you could join us, the conferees, for a few minutes in the sergeant's office, that would be great for some goodies. So
thank you so much. Best birthday present. Thank you.
With that, we are recessed. Call the chair. You.